Okay, what I'd like to do here is tie up that which we have been speaking about all week, and more important than that, God willing, tie up the year with some very, very positive Torah energy.
The regular
office you're going to hear. We've been talking about the halachas and a deep understanding of the rules of mechila, having to ask, this din of having to ask forgiveness from each other. And I pointed out that there's three parts to this regalachas. There's three parts to our discussion here. Part one is, and this is so important to the Erev Yom Kippur. Now it's like Erev Yom Kippur. This is it. We're really here. So point one is how important it is to understand that one cannot walk into Yom Kippur and be successful in their Yom Kippur if they have outstanding debts to other human beings. And outstanding debts to other human beings, in the words of the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch, includes not only financial debts, which goes without saying, that if you owe somebody money and you have no intention of paying, you stole something or you broke something of somebody else, that you've got to fix that up before you go into Yom Kippur. And if you, but the Shulchan Aruch says, "Afilu lo hiknitai," that's not me either. "Afilu lo hiknitai ela b'dvarim." Same phone as me. "Afilu lo hiknitai ela b'dvarim." Even if you only hurt somebody with words, you know. So like we all grew up saying, I don't know about in England, but in America we all grew up saying, sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt me, right? So there's nothing that's further from the truth than this nursery rhyme, because the fact of the matter is, sticks and stones, probably nobody here remembers about the sticks and stones and the bruises and the punches. But if somebody says, like, some type of a deep cutting insult to us, that we remember forever. Not only do we remember it forever, that wouldn't be so bad. That's our memory, but it actually affects us forever. The fact is that these things affect somebody, and Koach HaTov, if somebody says a good word to somebody at the right moment, a well-placed word, I want to tell you a story that just came into my head, just amazing thing. I once went to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Tzaddik B'Kadosh L'Vracha, and I went there as a messenger of Rav Sheinberg. Wow. So Rav Sheinberg, this is a big thing. Rav Sheinberg, as you may or may not know, wrote a sefer on the Shav Shmeitzer. And when he started to write that sefer, somebody told him that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote on the Shav Shmeitzer, and he has some ksavim. So Rav Sheinberg wanted to see the Kisveyad, the manuscripts that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote, and incorporated maybe in a sefer, which he did. And he did.
What's
so.
What's
the book? In English? It's not in English. It's in Hebrew. Shav Shmeitzer. It's called Igra de Shmeitzer, or Sheinberg's book. It's a book on the Shav Shmeitzer. Shav Shmeitzer is a classic halachic Lamdish treatise. So, in any case, I went to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Sheinberg asked me to go speak to him, and I went with somebody else who was a relative. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said to me, where are you from? So I said, I came from Rav Sheinberg. Rav Sheinberg sent me. So he said to me, Rav Sheinberg. So he said, you know, he changed the concept of chesed in Yerushalayim.
Wow.
So I said, really? So he said, it's a very interesting thing. He said that there was always a concept of chesed in Yerushalayim, of soup kitchens and gemachs and helping people marry off their children. That was always here, Baruch Hashem, in Yerushalayim. I mean, there was always a need, and there was always people to fill the need. But there was a new concept that he brought in, and he says, and it made waves. And that concept is Rav Shlomo Zalman told me this. I had to go to him to find out what I'm learning. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that there's this idea of how one good word to another person can change their life and can change generations to come, and how important it is, and how one smile at the right moment which he's expert on. One smile at the right moment can make a person's life different and make all the decisions different. And how to look for ways to do chesed to make somebody feel. Look, you know, before it was forbidden, Scheinberg used to keep a package of cigarettes next to his chair. I don't know if anybody, you remember such a thing? Yeah, I remember. Somebody needed a cigarette. He wanted to do a chesed. I mean, then it came out that you shouldn't smoke, so he decided to keep matches by him. And then he decided he shouldn't do that either. But the point was that you know, just looking for ways to do chesed. So, you know, like this whole idea, this whole concept of not just like, you know, lending people money and doing this is all tremendous chesed, but how important it is, like every word that we say has such an effect, it can have a dynastic effect for generations. And every word that we don't say, or every negative word that we say, God forbid, can have a negative effect for generations. Important thing to do. So, if somebody has hurt another human being, the halacha is that you can't come to Hashem on Yom Kippur and ask forgiveness and ask for kapara until you've taken care of this hurt. You have to rectify it. And the formula that's given to us is a formula called mechila. That's what we've been learning all week. The halacha with mechila is, and this I don't think I covered, the halacha with mechila is that if you go to somebody and you say, are you meichel me? This is, and that question under normal circumstances should be a detailed question. You know, I've been thinking about this and I'm concerned about the fact that our relationship has a rift in it and I'd like to fix our relationship and can we talk about this? That's what really has to happen. And that's why I keep on saying, like, you know, now it's Erev Yom Kippur. You know, it's a shame to wait for the holiday rush, you know, because now everything's under pressure. You know, like, you should do this, like, all year round. But, okay, here we are. So if there's an outstanding problem in a relationship, you feel that you've hurt somebody, so the halacha is you have to go over and ask the person mechila, which I'm going to explain in a deep level. I'm going to try to explain in a deep level in a moment. What if the person says, no, I'm sorry, I'm not, in other words, a sincere question begs a sincere answer. Right? So if it's a stupid question, like, Michael, not a problem. Michael, you can cover about 70 people a minute. This is nothing. I don't know, it's probably more valuable to say good yom tov. It's probably have it more valuable.
You're saying if he doesn't mean it, you shouldn't say it?
I don't think you should say anything you don't mean. Full stop. I don't think a person should say anything they don't mean. But certainly to you know, well, let me explain more. Let me prove the point. But that's certainly not what the Torah means when it says to ask mechila. It doesn't mean mechila. That's not what it means. What Chazal meant is that you should straighten things out. So you go and you really feel like you hurt somebody, insulted somebody, you hurt somebody, and the person says, I'm not ready to be mechila you. I can't be mechila. I can't. I don't feel like I could forgive you sincerely. You know, and sometimes, like, you know, it's a hard call, but sometimes, like, you got to say what you mean, not what's right. Like, sometimes you have to say what you mean. You know, sometimes you have to be sincere. So if we're talking about a relationship, let me say what I mean. Let's be real about it. Yeah, let's talk. So the halacha is that we paskin, machlokes, the Rambam, Tosfos Halachot in the Gemara, that we paskin that you have to come back three times. If you look at the Bir Halacha and the Shulchan Aruch, he has a whole shiloh there as to whether it's three times or four times, but we paskin you have to come back three times to the person and ask them mechila. After the third time, according to the girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, again, not everybody paskin this, you're not chayiv to ask mechila anymore. It means, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the Afrenim point out, you could go back 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, but you have no obligation more than three times. Now, how do we know these three times from? Where do we know it from? So the Gemara learns this from the brothers of Yosef. Brothers of Yosef is a biblical, classical example of people hurting each other on every level. So the brothers of Yosef insulted Yosef. The brothers of Yosef sold Yosef down the river. Brothers of Yosef considered killing Yosef. And now the brothers of Yosef meet Yosef and they feel very, very bad about what they've done. So they ask him mechila. So this is Mefurish in the Chumash. This is very clear in the Chumash. If you look in Parshas Vayechi, right in front of me. If you have it in front of you, you can take a look at it, page 5. Vayitzavu el Yosef Lamar. They said to Yosef, this is Lamar. This is actually what Yaakov, what the father Yaakov said to the brothers. You're going to have a problem here asking Yosef for Mechila after all of what you've done to him. So this is what you should tell them. You should say to them, this is, in other words, you have to be medayik in the words of the Gemara, b'divrei hazakim. You have to be medayik, you have to be very careful about how Yaakov taught his sons how to ask Mechila from Yosef. And this is what you should say, avicha tziva lifnei moisei lemor. Your father, they should say to Yosef, first of all, they should pull on the heartstrings. Your father commanded us before he died to say, in other words, this is something your father wanted, there should be peace between us, the brothers, right? Kosomru li Yosef, this is what you should say to Yosef. Ana sana pesha achecha v'chatosam kirag malucha. Please, Yosef, this is the language. Please, Yosef, carry the sin of your brothers, just like we ask Hashem to be nosei avam, to carry us. I explained a couple of days ago, you know, like a concept of carrying is like if a person's in business for many, many years, but all of a sudden business is really bad and they can't pay their bills, you can go to the bank and you can say, carry me. Trust me that I'll come up with it. Right now is a bad time. Can you carry me for a month or two? So then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we ask for forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, look, you know, this is just temporary problems and sanity that we're having. It's not really us. This doesn't define us. We're just like, this is like, it's been a rough year. It's been a rough couple of months. Like, you know, can you carry us for a little while? Have patience with me. So too, when we stand in front of our person that we have to ask Mechila, Sona Pesha Achecha V'chatosam Kirag Malucha. We have done bad. They have done bad. Can you carry us? So that's the first language of asking Mechila. Then they say, V'ata, now, Sona Lefesha Abdei Elihei Avicha, can you please forgive us? It's very redundant, except for that the Gemara understands that you have to ask Mechila not once, but twice. Vayech Yosef b'daber may love, and Yosef was crying as he was hearing these words. And then they said, Vayechu gam echa vayiplu lefanav yomru hinan elucha avadim, we are for you as servants. The Gemara points out there were three, we are ready to be your slaves for what we've done. In other words, that's how bad we feel. So there are three languages of Mechila here that took place. And the brothers asked Mechila from Yosef three times. And the Bach points out, if you look on the sheet, that according to this, with these words of Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, tzorech lefaisenu b'chol pam b'min ritzui acher. It's not even good enough to say three times, are you mochel me, are you mochel me, are you mochel me. Each one of the three times, you have to have a different angle on this. You have to go about it a different way. So you have to come up with a new reason why they should be mochel you, or a new language of mechila. Okay. So we learn out that you have to ask Mechila three times from the brothers of Yosef, and indeed the brothers of Yosef asked forgiveness three times. Okay? Now, yeah.
I don't know if this is just me, but it seems like the nature of the human intellect is such that when someone asks someone else for Mechila, that the person who's being asked seems like there's this kind of like just pushes it off, you know, just yeah, no problem, you know, like just kind of
right.
A natural kind of response,
which is an injustice, which is
like,
an injustice.
Yeah, to not put remorse on the part of the person, right. To not make them feel like.
See, you know, what we're talking about all week is that there's just as much of a set of halachas for the person who has to ask Mechila. There's just as much halachas for the person who has to grant Mechila. You're not doing anybody a favor by saying, yeah, it was nothing. That's not what it's all about. Let me show you. If you look at page, if you have these sheets, and look at page 7. Let me just let me learn together of Rabbeinu Bachaye on this pasuk. Vihine, listen carefully. Vihine, if you look at the Chumash, Echav bikshu mimenu mechila. The brothers asked Yosef forgiveness. They heard him. They asked him for forgiveness. Not once, not twice, but three times. And they did it really properly. They asked each time a different way. But the Torah does not tell us that Yosef granted the Mechila. Whoa. It doesn't say in the Chumash that Yosef was Mechil them. It does say that he gave them meals, he was nice to them, he told them, don't worry, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to put you in jail. I'll take care of you. But what's the key word? Amechel you. Lo beir akasiv shemachalem. Ukvar beiru chazal, and chazal teach us, shekol mi shechata l'chaveroi, that anybody who sins against his fellow man va'asa tshuva, and does tshuva, einoi nimcha lo'oilom, will not be forgiven, ad shiratza es chaveroi, until you appease your friend. So va'afal pisha hisker akasam, even the Torah does say va'yinachem oisam, that he comforted them, means Yosef comforted the brothers, va'yidaber alibam, he spoke to their hearts, shenira b'zesha ha'yilam ritzu miyosef. It sounds like Yosef was kind of satisfied. Mikol makom, nevertheless, le'ra'inu shi'asker akasav mechila b'yosef, the key word, which is mechila, that Yosef was mochel them, that's a different thing. Not I like you, not I'll be nice to you, not I understand you, but I'm moichel you. I have to be moichel. So because it doesn't say that it was moichel, it doesn't say that he granted their request of carry me. It doesn't say that, I will carry you. He didn't respond to them. There is no response. In Cain, says the Rabbeinu B'chayai, if that's the case, mesu ba'amsham, it comes out that they died in their punishment, below Mechilas Yosef. They died without getting Mechila from Yosef. Be efshir liskaper avonam, and it's impossible that their chet should have a kapara, rak b'mechilase, unless they had this Mechila, v'al kein. Therefore, he says, hutzrach ha'oinesh liyos kamus v'chasam, the punishment for the hurt that the brothers of Yosef put on Yosef and never received a mechila for them, that punishment became hidden, li pakeid achersman, to be given to the Jewish people after a period of time, beinyan asara aruge malchus, and that's why the 10 martyrs of Israel died, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, etc. The great tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael. In other words, why did they have to? So let me just review this in my own words. Why did they have to die such unbelievable, horrid deaths, if they because of the sin of the brothers of Yosef, which it says right in the Yom Kippur Matzah. This is not the, you don't have to be a Kabbalist to know this. It says this is the Yom Kippur Matzah. It says this is the Tisha B'av Kinos. It tells us that there's a connection. The Arizal even says that why these ten were Gilgulim, and someday I will have the schus to show you how each one of these ten fit in exactly with one of the brothers, and how they fit. I have this all worked out. It's not so. It's not every and each one of the ten martyrs said, "This is the sin that I did to deserve this." And very, very tiny, small little averus. The place, I don't even know if you call them averus, but it was exactly parallel to the ten brothers. But they asked Mechila, so what else is there? They asked Mechila, what else could he do? Three times they asked Mechila. So the answer is, very good, but they didn't get Mechila. So if they didn't get Mechila, the chet didn't go away. So, okay. I hate to be one to, create a chill, but it's just such an important, like a chumrah here, such an important thing to as best as we can, to fix the relationships that need to be fixed.
But don't we learn, that the one who is asked for forgiveness three times and doesn't forgive is a Russian?
Oh, no. It doesn't say he's a Russian. It says that a person should not be an achzor and not grant the forgiveness. What is it? How could a person be a Russian? If you don't feel that I'm mindful, so you're not mindful. It's not like I'm giving you, give me a quarter. Come on, give me a quarter. I'm dying, give me a quarter. Okay, I'll give you a quarter. Mechila is a much more complicated thing to give than a shekel. It's very complicated. So let me take it. What do you say, Moshe?
Is everything forgivable?
Yeah.
There are some things that are unforgivable. If brothers throw them in a pit.
You're explaining Yosef. You're explaining Yosef. Yeah.
Okay, well, look the other side. The other side is maybe, I'm not saying it's, yep. I'm just asking the question. Maybe something's...
Your question is an answer. Your question is an answer.
What?
Your question is an answer. Yosef was not mochel them. There was a reason.
Well, but the question is, was he right not to?
Don't know.
Can you judge him for not?
I can. I can. What I'm saying is that whether Yosef was right or whether Yosef was wrong, or you know, however you want to deal with that philosophically
and
or intellectually,
was it healthy for him not to reach the point for Yosef? Forget about the brothers. We know it wasn't healthy for him. The human being that is not able to reach that point for himself. That's not healthy either, right?
Right.
That causes him a serious
problem. Right. So let's take it a bit further. Yeah.
In your mind, is this question that he wasn't?
He didn't say he was. Mathila has to, yeah.
I mean, it could be that he felt that he didn't realize that he needed to act this way. I mean, I'm asking.
In my mind, it's impossible.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
So give up. Now, let's take the flip side of the coin for a second. The flip side of the coin is, here you have a case, this is not, we're not looking into some obscure law book here, Chumash. You have a case in the Chumash where the Mechila was requested kehalacha and seemingly not granted. What about the other way around? Let's say the mechila is granted, but it was never requested. The other way around. What happens there? So, the Gemara says in Megillah, the Gemara says that Rav Nechunya ben Akana, I have it here on page 11, you've become an expert in this little booklet here. The Megillah Chavches Amid Aleph, if you're a traditionalist. The Gemara says, Shalu Talmidav is Rav Nechunya ben Akana. We learned this Gemara that the Talmidim asked Rav Nechunya ben Akana. I pointed out that we figured out that he was 107 years old approximately at the time of this question. How did you get this longevity? How did he manage to live so long? And he answered that he never, one of the, he said there's a couple of different things that went into his life. He knew right away why he lived long. And he said one of the reasons is that covet, this is an important thing. You know, covet is a good thing, it's not a bad thing. Covet is a nice thing. If you can get covet, you should take it. But never on somebody else's cheshbon. Like, you know, in other words, you never want to get covet by somebody else, falling. That's impossible. And Nechunya ben Akana said, why did I live long? Loni skabadati, I didn't get my covet at the expense of another person. Covet, but it's good. If you like it, go for it. But not at the expense. Oh, you lost, therefore I got covet. That's not the way to do it. No, one of the gadolim was. I don't remember who it was. But one of the gadolim in America, the gadolim was very against the sports competition idea, because the whole way you get glory is by the other person losing. So got to think about that as a national or an international culture, an Israeli culture. It's like a classic case of mischabadati b'klein chaver, getting covered by you losing. Okay, so he didn't do that. Then he said, "V'lo yalsal mitasi kilas chaveri." My fellow's curse never took with me to bed. In other words, he never went to sleep angry or with complaints about somebody. So what it means is that Nechunya ben Akana had a practice, a holy practice, and he taught it to his students, that before he went to sleep, and by the way, this is in most of our Siddurim with Kriya Shema Lamita, Hareini Meichel Uchol Mishehithi Soisi V'Hiknit Soisi, that a person should go through a process of Mechila, of going through the day, and if somebody hurts you, so you should go through a real process of let me be mochel. Now, how do you do that? This is a very complicated thing, I think. If somebody really hurts you, but part of it, I guess, is try to figure out, like, you know, everybody has their history and their past and their baggage, and sometimes if you just focus a little bit on, you know, what's driving this other person, why they said what they said, you realize that it's very much their problem and not your problem, and it's really not something that you have to get hurt about. Different techniques that could possibly be used to be melchel somebody. And that's what he did, and Mar says that you find this, that Marzutra said a similar thing. You have Yisolik Lepurya, whenever he used to go to sleep, Amar Shari Le L'chol Man De Tza'aron. I'm Moichel everybody who may have hurt me. So here you have a case of somebody who's been able to forgive somebody even when they didn't ask forgiveness. My question here is, how does that work? Does it work? Does it work? It seems from here that it works. In other words, you have two like opposite cases. I can ask mechila according to halacha with all my heart, with all my soul, and not get it, and then I'm stuck. Or I can not even know that the guy's being mochel me. You know, I don't even know I heard him, and he's mochel me while I'm sleeping, and I continue to sleep. And Baruch Hashem, like this is off my head because this person is mochel me. I'm just looking through. You may ask, yeah, and unfortunately I didn't bring the paper, but the answer is I proved it from a Zohar. So the Zohar, it's Mefurish Zohar. I forgot that. The Zohar says Mefurish that the Mechila is Mechila works. Now, let me go back over an analytical question that I asked a couple of days ago. There's two ways of looking at this whole idea of mechila. One way of looking at it, like, what is it? And this is really what I want to get to right now. What is this mechila? One way of looking at it is that if I owe you money, or if I broke something, so I have to give it back. If you would say, all right, listen, it's over with, I lost it, I'm moichel. So the person has the right to do mechilas achoyes. Person can be mochel a debt that's coming to them. Even if I borrow from you $1,000, you can come to me and say, you know what, I see you need the money, I'm mochel. You don't have to pay me back. It's 100% a halachic formulation, and for many people a solution, to not never have to pay back the $1,000. 100% clean, nothing wrong. Let's say I owe you something that I can't pay back. I embarrassed you in public. Right? We spoke about it. You know, hey, can you be moichel me? For what? What did you do? Well, for the last 3 years, I've been telling everybody you're dishonest. Who exactly? I don't know. Everybody. You know, okay, moichel you. Like, what is that? Like, you know, okay, so now I'll moichel you. That's okay. I'll never get married. I'll never be able to get a job. I'll never, you know, so how are you supposed to be, moichel, right? So there's certain things that like, how much is this worth? $100, $1,000, $10,000? How am I supposed to pay this one back? So the answer is, there's no money in the world that can pay this back. The only chance you've got, there's no way to pay it back. How do you pay it back? You embarrass somebody in public, you spread gossip about somebody, you said evil things about other people, you hurt a person's reputation. There's no way to pay back. You're a snowball in hell when it comes to this. There's nothing to do with it. What are you going to do? So the only eitzah you can possibly have is that the other person is moichel you. Just like somebody could be moichel me the $500 I owe them if I haven't got it. Here for sure I don't have it because nobody in the world has it. So if nobody in the world has it, there is no way. The only answer there is you can be moichel me and then it's okay if you are moichel me. So that's one way of looking at the halach of mechila, that like it's a halachic issue, a halachic formulation of mechila sachoy. There's another way of looking at mechila, and that is not that you are forgiving the debt. You owe me an apology, and I'm forgiving that. No. Another way of looking at it, that Hashem wants us to do tshuva. So if Hashem wants us to do tshuva, just like when He wants us to do tshuva in front of Him, if we have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way to do tshuva is by saying al-chet, saying vidui, right? Al-chet shechafenu, I've done this. You have to articulate your sin. So, very possible that the reason a person has to ask mechila from another human being that he's hurt is because by asking mechila, that is part of the tshuva process. That's part of the tshuva process. And you have to ask it not once, and not twice, but three times. And it, as the Shulchan Aruch says, that if it's your Rebbe, afilu elef pamim, if you hurt somebody who's your, even 1,000 times, if you hurt your Rebbe, even if he was wrong, 1,000 times. So what is that? That's not necessarily to get the mechila. There, the important thing is the exercise in the process of asking the mechila. My nafgamina, what's the difference between this way of understanding it and that way of understanding it? The difference is that if the pshat is that I have to get the mechila, then I can sleep through the process. If you're giving me mechila, then I've got mechila. If the issue is that I've got to get forgiveness for the debt, so then even if I don't know, like the case of the Chafetz Chaim, who ran after the guy and said, I'm meichel you, I'm meichel you. I don't necessarily even have to hear him. I don't have to know what he's talking about. But he's meichel me. I'm not a ganav because the Chafetz Chaim was meichel me. So anybody who heard Rav Nechunya ben Akana, they can rest assured that they were forgiven because Rav Nechunya ben Akana was the kind of a tzaddik. I don't know if you can rely on this, but with other people. But Rav Nechunya ben Akana was the type of tzaddik that forgave everybody. That's okay. But if the issue is that I have to do tshuva because I hurt the Rebbe Rav Nechunya ben Akana, so I can't sleep through the process, then I have to do tshuva. And the tshuva is that I have to ask mechila. Not once, not twice, not three times, but 1,000 times for Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And for this, Rav Nechunya ben Akana giving mechila before he went to sleep is all very nice, but it doesn't work for my tshuva. So the fact of the matter is, there are two parts to this process. I don't think, I don't want to resort to the usual language, but I believe there are two dinim here. One din is to the exercise, the process of asking mechila, and the other issue is getting mechila. One of them is to get rid of the chayv, one to get rid of the debt that I might have had, and the other one is to do tshuva. What's more important, what's better, it's hard to know. But I would say the following, that just like you see in the Torah, that when it comes to Yom Kippur and standing for Hashem, by Yom Hazeh, Hashem says on Yom Kippur, Ichaper Eschem L'Tahir Eschem, that I'm going to give you Kapara and I'm going to give you Tahara. Kapara literally means a type of a cleansing. You will be cleansed of your sins. Tahara means a purification. So I think you pointed out that just because I have a kapara doesn't mean I have a tahara. Kapara means, okay, I'm not responsible for this sin per se any longer. Like I put this sin into the world, the sin is gone. So I've taken away the avera. That's changed. Tahara means, if you stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only he gives us kapara on Yom Kippur if you do tshuva, but he gives us tahara. What does that mean? Not only have you done something, have you disintegrated, have you dissolved the Savera, but I changed. Not only have it changed, I changed. Wow, okay, I've changed. Now I'm standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu differently. I'm coming out of Yom Kippur differently. L'chaper Eschem, L'tahir Eschem. Two steps, two important steps. I believe that when it comes to man and his fellow man, Benalim L'chavera, also two steps. L'chaper Eschem, L'tahir Eschem. So if you give me mechila, but I've done nothing to be part of that process, I haven't done any tshuva, I haven't humbled myself in front of a person that I've hurt, I haven't admitted, I haven't said vidui in front of the person, so then, okay, so maybe I have a kapara. Do I have a tahara? Or maybe I have a tahara, I don't have a kapara, I'm not even sure which way it goes. My heart tells me that if I do my tshuva process, I'll get a kapara. If you forgive me, so that means, if the person really forgave me, that means that we have purified the situation. There's a purity there. We're back to where we started from. How many people can get back to where they started from? You know, it's might even take you higher. And if you understand that the and this is clear in the Psukim, that the averas that we do benam l'chaveri are exact parallels to the averas we do benam l'makom. It works the same way, and tshuva works the same way. So what you have over here is just like if a person does tshuva correctly, benam l'makom. Person does tshuva correctly. There's this magical thing that happens. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu erase the avera, but what happens with the avera tshuva mi'ava? Nasa like a schuya, as if I did a mitzvah. So everybody says, come on. How could it be that it was a mitzvah for me to eat that BLT? what was a mitzvah? Tell me you're dissolving the avera. I understand. How could it possibly be a mitzvah? So I don't know if I could explain that. You've got to have a lot of imagination to be able to explain that. But let's look at it for a moment in a Beinam L'chaver. If God forbid, if I hurt somebody, I really insulted them. I hurt somebody. You know, I think I told you the story the other day about somebody who had a best friend, and they talked together, they learned together, they told each other's secrets, they worked together, they wanted to grow together, they shared their goals together, their dreams together. And one guy goes to visit his friend, Maisa Shaya, and he's about to walk into the room, and he hears the fellow talking on the phone, Lashon Hara, about him. Him. He's such a fool, and he thinks that I'm his friend, but I indulge him.
Wow.
He's not a straight person. He's not a normal person. He's not a smart person. So you walk away from the room. You're devastated. You thought you had a friend. And then half an hour later, the guy comes, let's have a cigarette, let's have some coffee, let's have this, let's have that, you know. And Eino Kitmol, she'll show you, my friend, you know, what's the matter? You don't feel good? You have a virus? You have a flu? What's the wrong? So finally, you recognize, how could you say this about me? I trusted you. You violated a friendship. The guy's like, oh my gosh, he heard me. So he starts to talk, and he starts to think, and he says, oh, I don't know where my head was, and that was just this person I was talking to, because that's where I wanted to hear, and it was an avera. And I said, please forgive me. Okay, you forgive him. Michael. Now, let's say, are you back to where you were? How could it be? So, maybe if you get a mechila, it's l'chaper eschem. Is it l'tahir eschem? So, the answer is, with correct guidance, it was a tremendous amount of work, which is probably worthwhile. You probably could come to a level of tahara also. You could probably purify the relationship. You could probably not only get back to where you started, but here's the thing, you could probably even create a better relationship than you had to begin with. We even got this kick out of the relationship. Hard to imagine? I've seen it. I've seen it between husbands and wives. I've seen it, that a problem actually became, and this is what it really means when it says that your aveira could turn into a mitzvah. That's what it means. Zdoidois nasa keschuya. It could be that even if a person has fallen in avodas Hashem, somehow that falling can be turned around as something which is shever yipol tzaddik become. Tzaddik can fall seven times before he has to fall seven times before he gets up. It's the falling which is making me jump up into a whole new level. So it's possible that this zdoidois. I think that's the way it could work. Now, to take it one step further, in tshuva, there's two parts, too. There's the part of me becoming a tzaddik for the future. And then there's the deeper part where you can dig into my past and retroactively undo the aveir, or as I say, turn it into a mitzvah. So there's the Mikamal Abba, there's the Lamafre, there's the future, there's the past. So what happens if you take these two elements of Mechila, asking Mechila and getting Mechila? So it could be that the act of asking Mechila creates my tshuva, so I have a kapara. But that, in a sense, because there was no Tara, is a future point. But it's a future point, but I'm still left with this blemish. I'm still left with this pigam. And this is what the Rabbeinu Bechaya teaches, that if Klal Yisrael was left with this pigam, it's very interesting, by the way, because La Yumsu of Bani Malavis, the Einshim don't go carry on for generations. You know, we don't get the punishments of our parents and grandparents. You know? But a pigam mishpach, a pigam, some kind of a, you know, we can do something, We can do something that can be dynastic, can last for generations. Has to get the kink out of the system. That's all. Just a kink. It's not a matter of Naveirism. The kink has to get out of the system. So the kink that has to get out of the system with Yosef was, you have to get them, because there was lacking in that tower. So here's where we want to go. Erev Yom Kippur, I think the first thing is that all of us, everybody has the capability of forgiving. That's a big thing. It's a big thing for us, and it's a big thing for the people. So if anybody has anything that's like, you know, anywhere in their life that somebody has hurt me, so I just, you know, it's clear to me that it's a tremendous mitzvah. This is in the tefillah. If you come early to davening tomorrow, you say the tefillah zaka, and that's what it says there. That I am meichel everybody. And this is a way, the Gemara says, that we get a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be meichel us. I'm meichel, Kadosh Baruch Hu is meichel. But if we can have the opportunity to actually, if we were on the receiving end, if we've been on the giving end in the hurting scene, so then it's mamish the right time to pick up the phone call, pull somebody on the side, or do whatever you have to do to try to A, go through the tshuva of asking the person mechila, and B, receiving the mechila and restoring the relationship. And it's clear to me that as a relationship is restored between one Jew and a fellow Jew, between one human being and a fellow human being, as a relationship is restored, it's exactly at that second that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is restored. This is the type of person that God wants to deal with on Yom Kippur. It's the type of person that we have to be. It's a suit. It's a type. And if we can become that type of a person, such a growth, such a spiritual growth, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us and give us the Chasima Tova that we all need. We should all be Zelcha to a Gemara Chasima Tova. Amen.